Sahana Bhavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaviryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. So this text of Advaita Makaranda, this Makaranda means the fragrance or the flower of Advaita, like the honey, the nectar that the bee goes after.
Mm-hmm.
The Advaita means non-dual. So the story of this, maybe not everybody knows, but Swamiji, when he was young, a young sannyasi in Rishikesh, was looking through these old bookstores they have, you know. And so there were some Vedanta books there, so he was thumbing through, and he came across this Advaita Makaranda, I think it's by Lakshmi Dada, and he couldn't believe it when he started reading these verses. And then he found out later, he bought the text, and he found out later that this is a text that many sadhus study, because I think it's 28 verses. Each verse is like a prakriya. It's a complete unfoldment methodology. Each verse is complete in itself. It's its own little prakriya. Prakriya means teaching methodology. So the Advaita Vedanta is viewed as a pramana. The Upanishads themselves view themselves as a pramana, a teaching methodology to kind of point the mind to the recognition of your own presence. So there are many different prakriyas that are used. And so each one of these is viewed as a prakriya. So it's like a mala of prakriyas, of teaching things. So it's often memorized.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it's really, so he's taught this many times, and it's just special. It has a nice little raga to it also. So the first verse is, in a sense, a prayer verse. Yes, and we use it as a prayer verse. So repeat after me. Kataksha kirana chanta, kataksha kirana chanta, naman moha dhaye namaha, naman moha dhaye namaha, anantananda krishnaya, anantananda krishnaya, jagannmangala murtaye, jagannmangala murtaye. Again. Kataksha kirana chanta, kataksha kirana chanta, naman moha dhaye namaha, naman moha dhaye namaha, anantananda krishnaya, anantananda krishnaya, jagannmangala murtaye, jagannmangala murtaye. So kataksha, the sandhi, kataksha, kirana, achanta, naman, moha, abdiye, namaha. That first one is one compound. It's one word, grammatically one word. It's beautiful. Kataksha, kirana, achanta, naman, moha, abdiye, namaha. Salutations to them. Ananta, ananda, krishnaya, jagan, mangala murtaye. So the key word here is namaha, right? Namaha always governs the dative case. It's an indeclinable. When you say namaha, or even if I say namaste, that's namaha te. Salutations to you, and te is in the dative case. So some of these indeclinables will always refer to one case or another. Sometimes they'll refer to more than one case, like vina, the word without. It can take the accusative or the instrumental or the ablative case. But they're always going to take one case. If there's one or two cases, it's only appropriate. So Namaha, that we use all the time, takes the state of case. And so as I was reading this, here the main word is Namaha. Namaha means my prostrations, my salutations to, right? And so every one of these has to end in a date of ending. Mm-hmm. So in this first one, Gataksha Kidana Chanta Naman Moha Abdiye, that's from Abdi. Abdiye is dative. It's in the singular. And then if you look at the bottom line, Jagan Mangala Murtiye, from Murti, Murtiye is dative. And then I was reading Anantananda Krishnaya. Krishnaya? What is that? Krishnaya. Of course, Krishnaya is the dative case of Rama, right? There is no more common dative case. So I had a senior moment. I was sitting here trying to figure out what that is. So anyway, so salutations to, let's just go through this. In a compound, sometimes the best way to understand a compound is to read it backwards. So let's just look at this first compound. Kataksha, Kirana, Achanta, Naman, Moha, Abhiye, Namaha. Salutations to, now, this is another thing. All of these, even though they're a long sentence, all of them are a name for the Lord. Okay. And as a name, it's called a Bahuvrihi compound. So here, if I say salutations, this is the difference to understand. Abdi means ocean. So Abdiye means salutations to the ocean. This isn't right, but I'm just telling you. Salutations to the ocean of moha, delusion. Salutations to the ocean of delusion, moha. Naman, for those who have surrendered, who are the devotees. Right? But because we're not really doing salutations to the ocean of delusion, right? We're not doing salutations to the ocean of delusion for those who have surrendered. So when in a Bahuvrihi, you get to use a form of yena, by whom, from whom, to whom. And so this one takes the third case. Namaha, salutations to the one by whom the ocean of delusion, right? For those who are his students. Naman means for those who have surrendered, for those who accept that acharya, whoever, as the teacher, right? So for those who have shraddha, so, or even to Ishwara, you know? But you have to have shraddha. So let's see what it says. So salutations to the one by whom the ocean of delusion, for those who have that shraddha, that trust, right? Achanta is dried up. Okay? Is dried up, kirana, by the mere glance. Kirana is the glance. Kataksha, akshaya is eyes. Kata is corner. So salutation to the one by whom this ocean of delusion, for those who have that shraddha, naman, for those who have surrenders in terms of that openness, that shraddha, is a certain faith. Because with knowledge, when you're sitting in front of the teacher who has knowledge, you don't know that they have knowledge. Right? You don't know. And you also don't know whether or not these Upanishads can really deliver the goods, can really free you. You don't know if the teacher really knows, because you don't know. If you don't know, how can you know if the teacher knows? And you don't know if these Upanishads really can do what they're supposed to do in terms of freeing you. You don't know. But there's something that tells you or gives you the go-ahead to listen. That's shraddha. It's called faith pending understanding, because you really don't know and you can't know. You can't know what the teacher knows until you know what the teacher knows. You can't know what the Upanishads really say, or if they can act as a pramana, act as a means of knowledge, until they've acted as a means of knowledge, right? And so it's considered a huge, infinite punya, crores and crores and crores of lifetimes of dharma, accruing this punya blessing, you know, to even have that shraddha. That shraddha is considered one of the greatest gifts. In the Bhagavad Gita, there's a statement, one, I forget which verse it is, but it's in there. Shraddhavan labhate jnanam. What it means is, shraddhavan. The one who has shraddha, that one gains knowledge. All of the other things fall into place. They will fall into place. All the other qualities that you need. But without the shraddha, your mind's not available. You know, your mind has to be available. And so how can your mind really be available? How can it be? You know? So that it happens to be available, and that to a real teacher who can wield the Upanishads in the way that you can see, you happen to have shraddha, you happen to be brought in that particular place and time, for that to happen, it's considered what we call Ishwara Anugraha. It's considered the grace of God. So that's why he says there's so much in this verse. Anyway, so it says, salutations to the one by whom this ocean of moha. Moha means delusion, but also moha means absolute confusion. Confusion because we have our five sense organs and we have all of our means of knowledge. There's so much knowledge that we can gain here in the world. But the problem is we don't know who we are, the one who is gaining all of this knowledge within the relative world. I have the means of knowledge to gain knowledge in this empirical world of duality that we experience through our sense organs. We have the means of knowledge necessary to gain so much knowledge in this world. But we don't have available to us the means of knowledge, and we're not carrying it as a sense organ, the means of knowledge to tell me who I am. I am, I exist, I am a conscious being, but then the question is, who am I? And in the Katha Upanishad, this is Nachiketa's question to Lord Yama. Who am I? This one who is standing before you, this me, this person, this me. Who am I? Means, what happens to me when I die? What is my relationship to God? What is my relationship to you? What am I doing here? Who am I? Do I survive death? You know? Is there anything about me that is free from dharma and adharma? Anything that's free from punya and papa, all of these things, from sukha and dukkha, from sorrow and suffering, is there anything about me that is free from all of this? Because I'm always here, but I'm always experiencing, I'm always here, viewing myself only through the lens of my mind and sense organs and body. That's how I know myself. I don't know myself from my own standpoint. You know? So, who am I? That is the question. And so, for the one who asks that question, it's so interesting, because when you think of moha, if you look at moha as confusion, Swamiji usually say delusion, but often in Swamiji we've started to use it more as confusion. I think confusion is good. Because I'm confused about who I am and why I'm here and what's really going on. You know? That is the moha. I'm totally confused. It's a total moha. It's not a partial moha. But imagine that I'm gaining knowledge in this world when the one who's gaining the knowledge, I have no idea who that one is. So the pramana, we have the pramanas to gain knowledge of the world, but pramana means the means of knowledge to gain knowledge of the world. We don't have the pramana available to us to gain knowledge of who I am in this world. Now, why this is so confusing is because the fact that I am and that I exist and I'm a conscious being, this me, you know, the me experience, we all know that because it's self-evident. The conscious being that I am is self-evident. It's not that you're not here. So that self-evident experience is here. And at the same time, I don't know who I am. So I have knowledge and I have ignorance. Right? That's always the problem. If you have no knowledge, if there's no experience there, then Swamiji will say something like, you know, total ignorance is bliss. There is no problem. Like in deep sleep, total ignorance. No problem. But we have partial ignorance because the self experience, the me experience, is alive and well as myself. So when you're talking about me, yourself, that one that you're talking about, that very one that you're talking about is me, you then say, and who am I? You know, this me, that is my own me, that is me, could you please tell me who I am? Right? So that's important to understand because it's also true. The me that I am is self-evident and that's the one that I want to know. So I know and I don't know. So we have some terms for this. We say, this knowing of myself in this general way is what we call samanya jnanam. It's just a general understanding of myself. But we have no what's called vishesha jnanam. We don't have the particular knowledge of myself. The example we use for it is if, you know, when a rope is mistaken for a snake, you do have partial knowledge because you see, you have samanya jnanam, general knowledge, of the bends of the rope, the placement of the rope, the diameter of the rope, if the two little prongs are sticking out as fangs. The entire snake is experienced, right? The entire rope is experienced. That's samanya jnanam. But the thing is, what that thing is not experienced, is not known. The thing is experienced, but what it is not known. The vishesha jnanam is not there. You know, that is our situation. Because I am completely present. But who I am, what I am, what is going on, that I don't know. So that's very important understanding. Think of it like this. Swamiji will use this example. With a snake rope, the two little boys walking along on a path, and one reacts to the snake that he's just seen, you know. And so now a whole story breaks out. The other boy has to tell him, proving that it's a rope. He has to make him see the rope. I'll go through all of this. But now imagine another scenario. The two boys are walking along. This thing is there. But they don't see it. Mm-hmm. Neither one of them see it. They're just walking along, having a good time. This potential snake, this potential rope snake is there on the ground. No problem, because they don't see it, right? That's my situation in deep sleep. No problem, because the mind is not there to be creating a mistake. Right? There's no recognition. Where here I am, with the mind recognizing me through its own lens, and then taking me to be it. Even though everything about your mind and everything about the experiences of your body or the experiences of anything externalized are continually coming and going and changing, you know. Like I actually cannot be an experience that is left. It's not possible. See, I have an experience. I have any experience, this is the whole Vyavahara, the whole world, in the world, any experience in the world. If I can be there before and after that experience, I can't be that experience. Because I was here before that experience was here. I'm here during the experience, and I'm here after the experience. So what is my relationship to the experience? I mean, this is a no-brainer. There, I have no relationship to the experience because I'm here before, during, and after the experience. It's not possible. So this is just kind of the most simple logic that is really pervasive to the prakriyas that we use. It's that anvaya vyatireka. It goes like this, and so much Vedanta can be covered by this one little understanding. When this is, that is. When this is not, that is not. Then there's a coherence, there's a relationship. The anvaya and the positive, when this is, that is, okay. You have some relationship, perhaps. Then when you say, and when this is not, that is not, okay, they have a relationship there. There's a dependency there. Because this can only be there when that is, and when this that goes away, then this other thing goes away. That's a real relationship. So now, I have to be able to say that with my experience. When this experience is, I am. When this experience is gone, I am gone. Okay. Then I have a relationship. But what if I say, you know, okay, when this thought is, this is a thought, when this thought is, I am. And when this thought is gone, I am gone. Really? I don't think so. When this thought is, I am. When this thought is gone, I still am. So it's my relationship. I don't care what the experience is, whether it be a thought or a perception or identification with your body or with an illness in the body, you know, or with your age, you know, when the body was 5, I was. When the body is older, I no longer am. It's not how it is. That's why the old people, now that I'm one of you, or you old people, like my mom, she would say, I'm just the same as I used to be, and my body is so old. I'm stuck in this old body, you know. But she's the same. She's the same. Everybody has that experience. It's not just her. Bertrand Russell said the same thing. We all have that experience, but there's confusion, you know. That's why people are so confused, because the body dies. The mind, the body dies, you know. That's a fact. And so that means you will die, because you take yourself to be the body. But logically, there's something in your psyche that cannot go along with it, because it is not logical. It's not logical, because even though you see that everybody dies, you experience that everybody dies, you never experience your being changing. That anvaya vyatireka is inviolate. And your psyche is really intelligent. It's more intelligent than the conscious mind, because it has much more information to work with. It doesn't feel right, you know. The ananda that you are, where you feel whole and complete, you know that's right. That that's who you are. You should be able to be that. Why is that continually taken away from me? It's confusing. Because I know that when I'm having a negative experience, that that is not me. And you know when you have a certain there's plenty of small little positive experiences, but in your life you have experiences where you know that's who you are. You know that's how you're supposed to be. And then the question is, just like with Nachiketas, you know, how do I get there? Mm. Where is that? Where am I? What happens? What happens that I lose myself? You know? That's why you have that question. Because you get confused. You get confused by all of the different states of mind. You know? You get confused by the mere fact of having a body. It's confusing, because the body does die. The body does get sick, and I'm supposed to be the body. And the mind does have deep, dark emotions, you know, and happy ones too. You know? But that's not who I am. And you know that whenever you have a moment of clearance. And so you feel confused. Who am I really? Who is that one, you know, that I know is me? And what's all of this? So that word moha, using moha as confusion, is much better in a way. You can do so much more with it than using just delusion. Delusion has negative connotations also. Like you are deluded, means you're crazy. But you're not crazy. It's a crazy situation. It's a very crazy-making situation, but you're not crazy. That's why you feel crazy in this crazy-making situation. Not that you're crazy. It's just confusing. So, salutations, my salutations to the one by whom this ocean of delusion, an ocean is very large. So samsara is likened to an ocean. This whole, an ocean that you simply cannot just get out of. The whole samsara, that we're all like fish in the ocean. Right? There is nothing else but the ocean for the samsari. So the one who is, by whom this ocean of delusion, for the ones who have the shraddha, means are available to listen. Because without that shraddha, you're simply not available to listen. So who, the one by whom that ocean of delusion is dried up simply Swamiji will say like this, simply by a sidelong glance. And then you go like this. Like Sam, let Sam just like this, and then I look over at you. That's enough. That's just a beautiful phrase. Then he says, salutations to that one who is Ananta Ananda Krishna. So this can be the name of Lakshmidatta's guru. It's not clear, because, but Krishna. Ananta means the one who is limitless. Ananta means having an end. Ananta, without end. Limitless Ananda. So a way of saying that, limitless Ananda. Ananda is the wholeness or fullness, changeless fullness of your own being. Is limitless Ananda. That's another confusion. The Ananda that is our own swarupa, our own nature, gets mixed up with bliss states for those who are seeking liberation, because you have had the experience of vritti ananda. Vritti ananda is ananda, experiences of joy that have taken place in the mind because of a shanta vritti. Vritti means a thought modification that has shanti, that is quiet and peaceful. In those quiet, peaceful mental states, there is a reflection, an experience of ananda, of joy, of bliss, of happiness, of fullness. And so when we think of something like enlightenment, you know, or self-realization, or moksha, we take these little states of happiness or joy, and then we extrapolate in our mind, what is the farthest we can go with that state? What is the biggest bliss that is possible for me to experience? And so that's another confusion, a natural confusion, because if I know that my nature, there's a lot of problems here, if I know my nature is limitless ananda, right? But I don't know that this me is limitless ananda, then the me that is the mind is going to be seeking limitless ananda within the world of vritti jnanam, of vritti ananda. Means mental modifications that will give me more and more and more ananda until I get to the highest realm of mental modifications to give me the absolute most ananda, and then I have to somehow meditate to keep that ananda state. This is the type of confusion. It's confusion because when they're talking about ananda, satchit ananda, your being is satchit ananda. Your being is a being, existence itself, which is consciousness, which is ananda, that's who you are. You can't say, well, how do I get there? You know, how do I, if that's who I am, how do I experience it then? There's a flaw in that logic. If that's who I am, if you say, this, and this is the flaw, if you say, that's who I am, okay, I have shraddha, that's who I am. I am existence. I exist, I experience that, I exist, yes, I exist, right here and now, I exist. You are chit, consciousness, yes, I experience, I am consciousness. You are ananda, no, I'm not. I am a conscious being. I'm not ananda. Right? So now I have to have an experience of ananda. So I have to have an experience of the vritti ananda that I think that they're talking about. Right? This is not true. The ananda that you're that they're talking about is here right now. But then you'll say, no, that's not good enough. I want the vritti ananda. I want the experience of ananda, something different than is what is here right now. Right? But that actually isn't true. It isn't true. The problem is that here right now, the ananda that we're talking about, that is your own swarupa, that is your own nature, is self-evident, completely present here right now. But the mind also has different types of emotional experiences also present here right now. And because there's no viveka, there's no discrimination, my mind cannot discriminate between its emotional states and me, the one who is present to those emotional states. There is no viveka at all. There's no thought of even having discrimination there. But if that once that discrimination is there, then you recognize this me that they're talking about is in its own right, its own definition of ananda. That is different than the vritti ananda. And there is nothing more complete than that. It's my very, very being. It is what I am absolutely most attached to. But I'm always only experiencing it through the dress, the various dresses of the emotional states of my mind. You know? And I'm only used to looking. See, when I gain knowledge in the world, I am only used to looking at the vritti. Right? I gain a thought modification. It forms a vritti. I have knowledge. I illumine that vritti, that thought modification. That's how I'm getting knowledge. Now I want self-knowledge. So I need to get a vritti of myself, which then I am illumining. Right? But it doesn't really work like that because I'm already here. There's all this other way that we gain knowledge. I'm getting knowledge of something that is objectifiable, not of me. And so to gain knowledge of me, this is going to be a slightly different process, right? Because the mind does have to turn toward me, you know, it has to turn toward me in the sense that it's not involved with objectifying a lot of other mental states or perceptions and all of that. It has to turn toward me in the sense of being able to differentiate itself from me. The mind has to differentiate itself from me. Every vritti has to be differentiated from me. A sukha vritti, a happy vritti, thought modification, has to be differentiated from me. An agitated thought modification needs to be differentiated from me. A depressed one, it needs to be differentiated from me, until all of these different dresses are just that. They are dresses. And one is replaced by the other, is replaced by the other, is replaced by the other. But none of them are touching me in any way. In fact, in the meditation we did, I am not contained. Yourself is not contained. It is not wearing a dress. You don't have a form. Your being does not have a form. You know, it's not like you're a little pea in a pod. You know, like a little round pea. In a pod, the pod of the body, mind, sense organs, you're a little pea. You're not a little pea. Right? And when you're with yourself, if you're just being yourself, there's no form to give to yourself. It's totally irrelevant. The words don't apply. You don't have a form. And if you don't have a form, you are not embodied. It's like trying to make space be embodied. It has no form to be able to be embodied. It's subtle. The Atma illumines even space. Yourself illumines even space. You're not embodied. So say you're just sitting with yourself, and then you ask, okay, just being yourself, what form am I? What form? I have nothing to do with form. Where do I end? I have nothing to do with space. I have nothing to do with form. I have nothing to do with space. These ideas belong to duality. They don't land on me. And then you see, in fact, there is no subject-object relationship in me. I'm both the subject and the object. There is no subject, there is no object. I am self-evident because I'm conscious being. There's nobody illumining me, and nor am I illumining anything. Nothing is illumining me, nor am I illumining anything. Everything in the universe is illumined, but I am not doing it. You know, an example that doesn't quite work, but we use it anyway, is the sun illumines everything, but the sun is not illumining anything. Because the sun is a luminary, everything gets illumined. Because consciousness is consciousness, everything in its wake enjoys knownness, is known. But consciousness, the me, is not doing anything. From its standpoint also, there is nothing but it. When you just be yourself, you know, like I like to use this word now we've been doing for a while in meditation, you gently turn your mind toward your own presence, and then you just then make the shift. Do you just be you? Let the buddhi be turned towards you, but you just simply be you. And then recognizing yourself, the buddhi is focused on you. Just being yourself. Are you anything, from your own standpoint, is there anything there but you? Now you can ask, the buddhi can ask, you know, am I the Atma? Knowing anything. From my own standpoint, am I knowing anything? I am pure knowledge, but with no form. I'm not knowing anything. I am not doing anything. I am not even lighting up anything. Think of the clay pot. Is the clay, from the clay standpoint, if you take a clay pot, is there any pot? From the standpoint of the clay. There's only clay. So from my own standpoint, there isn't anything else. It is simply not there. There is only me. I have to come back around from the standpoint of the upadhi to recognize the upadhi. Means the conditioning adjunct. Not from my own being. So these can just be a bunch of blab, but you have to see it. You have to see it in the contemplation. So here, Ananta Ananda Krishnaya. Krishna, I think, is the name. If you can take the Ishtadevata, Lord Krishna, you know. Or you can take it as the name of Lakshmi Dada. So the Ananta Ananda Krishnaya, that Krishna whose form is limitless Ananda, whose nature is limitless Ananda. Then Jagan Mangalamurtiye, whose very form, his very nature, Murti, is Mangal, is a blessing for the world. Jagan Mangalamurtiye. Because he's often the one who's writing the text will both praise Ishwara. There's three things that you have to praise at the beginning. First and second verse, or even the first verse. You have to praise Bhagavan, the Lord. You praise your teacher, your guru, and then you also praise the knowledge. Right? So, this knowledge and the teacher are considered Jagan Mangala, the great blessing for the world, because without it, if this knowledge did not exist, it is so dark. The fact that it does exist, the fact that there is such a thing as self-knowledge, that it actually does exist in the creation, is some amazing thing. It's like a huge miracle that this does exist and it does liberate you. It does solve the problem. It does solve the human problem. The human problem is the desire to be whole and complete, not for just a little temporary moment in time, but to be able to say, I am whole and complete. in all is well with me, to recognize, to know who you are and who God is and what the creation is about, to understand, to see it. The problem is solved. You know, it's like the veil has been lifted. Mm. But imagine if there was no lifting of the veil, and yet everybody wants that. That's what makes it, would be, make it such a nightmarish, ghoulish thing, you know? It would be, it's likened to this, they actually use this example. Bhagavan, God, gave us the need, but we gave us thirst, but no water. Mm. He gave us lungs, but no air. He gave us taste and hunger, but no food. So what they go through like this, all of the things that this upadhi, all for all beings, seek. And yet, this one thing, there is no, you can't have that. That's not available. Mm. And yet, it's a natural, instinctual, archetypal inclination of all beings. But there's no way to know that. That seems so dark and creepy. I remember when I was first with Swamiji in India, and I'd been with him about a month, a month and a half or something, very short time. We went to Ahmedabad for a couple of weeks in Delhi. And then we went to Rishikesh, to his ashram, and we stayed there for 2 or 3 months, I think. But I remember when that moment of realization that these things that you've heard about, like a guru, you know, and self-knowledge, you know, these words, that they were real. And that was the most unbelievable. I'll never forget the moment, you know. It was like, this actually exists. It actually exists. That it is real. That there is such a thing. Because I'd read these Babaji books and all of these things, but I didn't know that it was really true, that knowledge actually existed, that it was part of the universe, part of the creation. You know? And that these teachings have been along for since beginningless time, really. As long as you can go way back. Prehistory, pre-written word. And this teaching is carried on for so long, but it's just an incredible revelation. I remember telling Swamiji about it, that I had that thought. You know, he said, "I know," and he smiled. Yeah, that's good enough. That's our prayer verse.
Om swasti prajabhyah paripalayantam nyayena margena mahim mahishah ko brahmanebhyah shubhamastu nityam loka samasta sukhino bhavantu kale varshati parujanyah prithivi sasya shalini desho yam kshobha rahitah Brahmanasantu nirbhayaha Om sarve bhavantu sukhinaha Sarve santu niramayaha Sarve bhadrani pashyantu Ma kaschit dukkha bhag bhavet Asato ma sadgamaya Tamaso ma jyotirgamaya Mrityorma amatangamaya Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.